We love getting insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How you doing?
I'm good, everybody. How are you?
Good. Well, I've been better. Tucker Kraft, the injury confirmed yesterday. He will, in fact, be out for an extended period of time with the ACL injury. What do you think the team's plan is on replacing him? You think it's just a step up from the guys who are already in that tight ends room?
Jeff Thomason.
I got his number.
JT, the flying T. Yeah. Mike Bartram. Yeah, I mean, here's what's funny. I mean, not funny, haha, just funny, like weird. Like, so they continue to keep Gabe's guy, Lucas Havrisik, on the roster. Yesterday they cut Christian Welch, kept Lucas Havrisik on the roster. A week ago, to make room for Christian Watson, they cut Ben Sims, their number four tight end. Chipotle Ben, as Tosh likes to call him, because I was allegedly stalking him at a Chipotle. And the team's claimed him. So he's not available. And there's a guy that's been in your system as long as Kraft and Musgrave have been. And quite frankly, if you could put Ben Sims' ability to block and play special teams into Luke Musgrave's body with his athleticism, you'd have another Tucker Kraft. And now you don't have Tucker Kraft, nor do you have the two guys who could recreate him in the aggregate. So right now you've got two tight ends on the roster. They've got another guy on the practice squad. But they're a little thin there. So trade deadline today at 3 p.m. I'm very curious to see if Goody does something to augment that position.
Jason, do you get any inkling that LaFleur may hand over the play-calling ability? And if so, does anyone on the roster other than Getsy have play-calling experience?
No, I don't get that inkling at all. And on top of that, Steno has called some preseason games. I like Luke Getsy a lot, and he obviously called plays for two franchises that were dysfunctional, to say the least, with the Bears and the Raiders. But I don't, like, change for change's sake always makes me a little nervous. And I don't see a play calling upgrade coming from anybody that's on their coaching staff. So I mean, I don't know what other options they would have beyond that. Like Nathaniel Hackett, like I think he's like working remotely and just helping on the defensive side, like Sala did on the offensive. So it's not like you're going to bring him on board and have him call plays, because that didn't go very well either. So do you think he should give up play calling?
No, the only reason I say that is because I just saw that Stefanski gave up his play calling duties in Cleveland, and wasn't there another coach this year that gave it up? And he's taken a little heat, Jason, and I always talk about bread and butter. I don't see bread and butter with this team. And where I think he gets, and I'm not the only one, I heard it yesterday, they think he gets a little too cute in his play calling. Where Holmgren got cute was formationally. We called the same stuff, but we always changed up the way we did it formationally. And I just think that's a better way to do it. You have a play, and then you have four plays off of that play. I just don't see that with him. I don't see a flaw.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I.
Did we lose Jason?
Seems like we've lost Jason.
Or he's speechless.
Well, listen, as you mentioned that, Joshy, can you pull up that sound from Dan Orlovsky and Mina Kimes yesterday from NFL Live? Because, Chu, you are not the only one who sees that the scheming is a little bit different than what you're used to. Take a listen to this.
I feel like when I watch the Packers offense, it's almost like this obsession with creation. We will out-create or out-scheme things for us rather than sometimes it's okay to line up and play. Like, do you feel that way sometimes
Take
when
a profit.
I watch them?
Take a profit.
Yeah.
They should be more efficient than they are. But your point about the line of scrimmage is really important because that was a discrepancy between these teams. I mean, the Panthers, who are missing players on their offensive line, just dominated them at the line of scrimmage. And then with Green Bay, you go 1-for-5 in the red zone. Look, going back and rewatching, so many self-inflicted errors there.
Yeah.
The fumble. Penalties, penalty totally. Holding, false start, and then a missed field goal.
I just feel like there's a fine line between, man, we love some of the designs that they get to and some of the schemes they get to,
right.
And then are you every single play trying to out-scheme the defense in some very unique way? I don't know. There's just a lack of execution on some of the overly exotic plays that stand out to me.
Sounds like he's saying keep it simple, stupid. Jason, are you back with us?
I am. I didn't know if you were talking to me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so Dan Orlovsky, it sounds like he and Chewy are in alignment.
Yeah. I mean, look, their execution was poor on a number of levels. Their offensive line, they have not, their reconfiguration of that has not worked out. I think Elgton Jenkins has struggled. I think he's playing better, but. You know, there's free runners way too frequently. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about Josh Myers, but he always made sure the protection calls were on point, and you didn't see that kind of stuff because he played center his entire life. Same with Corey Linsley and Scott Wells. So, you know, I think that's part of it. Mina mentioned the self-inflicted wounds, the fumble. Do I think that LaFleur gets too cute? I don't believe that. Like, I look at what they're running. I think that they are flummoxed by this idea that they're going to be forced to go 8, 9, 10, 11 plays and drive the field. He wants to get explosives. He's got a quarterback who loves to sling it down the field even when he shouldn't. And so I think he's, you know, I noticed they run a lot of horizontal stuff, right? They side to side instead of forward. And whether it's jet sweeps or the bubble screens, I mean, their execution on those was horrendous, right? That's what leads to the fumble for one. Like, if you're going to run that, your guys better block it up. And I think one of them was with Malik Heath, who's their best blocker,
mm-hmm.
who didn't get his block executed. So, you know, when you lose a game like that, everything is under the microscope. I would argue that if I have an issue with his play calling, it's that he's indecisive. And he always says about quarterback play, indecisive equals ineffective. But, like, on the really big gotta-have-it decisions, if you're going to go for it on 4th and 8, you better have a pretty good play call that you feel really good about from the 13-yard line. And he admitted the play before it was 3rd and 3, and he's thinking even if it's 4th down, they're going to go, but he wasn't ready for it to be 4th and 8. So then he makes the play call, then he pops a timeout, and then they run the same play anyway, and it didn't work. Now, if you look at it, it was not well, again, not well executed. But I just don't see his play calling. I know everybody's frustrated. I get it. I just don't see his play calling as the root of their issues or the design of the offense. You score 13 points, you're going to get criticized. You struggle in the red zone, you're going to get criticized. And deservedly so. But I don't think it's time to, you know, suddenly hand the play calling duties over to, you know, Connor Lewis or something.
If they wanted to move Elton back to left guard, do they have somebody who they could put in at center?
I mean, look, Jacob Monk is a center. We know he was not very good at guard in the preseason. So he would be an option for sure. I don't know if Sean Ryan would be any better. I don't know if they have better options. I mean, they predicated their reconfiguration of that line on moving Elton and paying Aaron Banks, who seemingly cannot finish a game, a king's ransom. Now, his contract, they could get out of it after a year if they were to decide to do that. But right now, I mean, I'm looking at them thinking a year from now, they're going to have a completely different offensive line, right? They're not going to pay Rashid Walker. They're not going to pay Sean Ryan. I don't think, based on the way he's played, they're going to keep Elton Jenkins. And they probably, but I wouldn't say certainly, will keep Aaron Banks. So,
is there a situation where they decide to move on from Banks and move Elton back to left guard and figure out a plan for 27 going forward without Elton Jenkins or something like that? Because Elton's too good of a player for him to be like this. I feel, and especially because left guard hasn't been solidified, whether it's because of the injuries, whether it's because Aaron Banks has just frankly hasn't played that well either.
Yeah, the one thing they can't do, I don't think, because of their cap situation, is keep Elton at the number that he's at. So if they have options, if they were to decide to move him back and say this didn't work, you know, get a guy to play center, fine. But he can't be. I don't think he can be on the roster next year at the number he's supposed to be at. Like, they either have to extend him or move on from him. Because I just don't think that's tenable for them with all the other big contracts they have on their books.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason, before we let you go, I want to take a listen to what Matt LaFleur had to say yesterday about the kicking situation.
He didn't kick for two straight weeks, so. But that's a process working through. But we felt confident in terms of what we've been seeing out at practice and just his ability to make them, because that's where it all starts for us. I mean. And he's been doing a great job in practice. And unfortunately, you know, he missed the shorter of the. I know he had three kicks, but unfortunately, he missed the shorter one and hit the longer one.
So, according to Matt LaFleur, Brandon McManus is definitely working through some things health wise, but they've gone with him the last two games because of what they've seen in practice. This to me is insanity, Jason. If you know a guy is definitely working through some health things, why not let him work through them to the end when you have somebody like Haversick available who can ostensibly kick successfully?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if he's not 100%, why are you kicking him? You think he's good enough, but why are you keeping Lucas Haversick around? Like, it doesn't make sense to me when I look at where they're at. I would have shut him down and said, look, it is injury related, not performance related. When you are fully 100% healthy, you're our guy. We paid you to be our guy. And while Lucas Haversick is a lovely flavor of the month, we don't want him kicking with a trip to the NFC Championship game on the line because we don't know if he can make it. We know you've done it. You've kicked in a Super Bowl. But this has been, in my opinion, bungled because not only do you now have McManus missing, you also have him looking over his shoulder, it would appear. I mean, I would defer to Chewy on this. Does that happen? The fact that Haversick is there, is that impacting his performance?
Part of it. I mean, no one wants to get Wally pipped, you know? I mean, to McManus's...
Right, where you don't have that.
I mean, in his defense, I mean, it was pretty windy, right, Jason?
Yep.
He pulled it. That plays with your head. You know, it's hard for receivers to catch balls in winds because that thing moves, so...
But he also said, Chew, that he is definitely working through some health things.
Yeah. Then you probably play the other guy with the hopes that, you know, McManus, give him 3 weeks or whatever till he's 100% healthy and then move forward from there. Could they, Jason, what's a short IR? Is there a short IR or no? What's IR? How many
four games?
Yep, so do
four.
That.
Four
do games. That. Then he's protected. Then you figure out the roster
should've
and let him kick in four games.
should have done it 4 games ago. Yes, right?
Totally agree.
Jason, totally agree. We appreciate you hanging out with us, man. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
You can hear Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We'll take a break. Lots of stuff to still dive into, including a big Bucks win last night over the Pacers. Giannis with the game-winning shot at the end. We'll talk about that as the show rolls on right after this.
Fellas, listen up. If you're getting ready to take that next step in life and propose, the Jewelry Center has to be the first stop. Whether it's naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds, the Jewelry Center has options for it all. Maybe you don't know exactly what that ring for that special someone is going to look like. Well, go over to our Pinterest page. See if there's anything there. Bring it in. The helpful team at the Jewelry Center always going to help you out. Learn more about the engagement ring selection or any of the other services. Shop TJC.com or stop in today. In one of their 3 locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. When you head over there, tell them the Gabe and Chew sent you.